Amen. And give us the opportunity and the really and truly the responsibility to approach those mountains. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to be this morning. Joshua and chapter 1 is where we'll be. And so we'll open our Bibles. We'll get back there. Appreciate Andy reading earlier this morning, or just a little bit ago. And Joshua 1, if you will, we're going to look again in verses 3 through 9. Verses 3 through 9. We've been here for the past 3 weeks, and we began on responsibility as Joshua and the nation of Israel had approached under the River Jordan just prior to entering into the Promised Land. And we saw that how it is their responsibility to really and truly to man up, grow up, and be an adult, amen. Paul said that when I was a child, I spake as a child, amen. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. It never ceases to amaze me how childish sometimes grown men and women can be, amen. And really never ceases to amaze me. And we look here in the life of Joshua and what's happened in his days and now leading this bunch of the nation of Israel across this River Jordan, he had to press the idea his entire ministry about taking responsibility. So last week we heard about obstacles, and that first obstacle was the River Jordan. We'll get into that in just a moment. And so we're going to see part two this morning of the same. Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I mean, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. There's probably a year's worth of preaching just in the verses that we read this morning. There's conditional statements that are made in there, and we're going to touch on that this morning. We may run a rabbit trail or two and address those things, but my friend, guys, we find in verse 3, we find the promise there in verse 3, every place that thy soul, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There is the promise, but we find in part 2 of our message today on obstacles, we find the problem in verse 2, okay? Verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And it says, go over this Jordan. In chapter 3, verse 17, and we won't turn there, we see the power, okay? We see the problem was that there was an obstacle before Joshua and the nation of Israel. That was their first obstacle, if you will. But we saw the power of the Lord God Almighty who enabled them to cross that River Jordan on dry ground, mind you. So this first obstacle between Israel and the Promised Land was right in front of them. It was a present obstacle. One may say, as a matter of fact, it was one they seen and they heard continually day and night. This obstacle would have had the word impossible written across of it, guys, which is true. Had God not performed his mighty work that he did with Israel, had he not stopped up that water and dried those ground up, guys, they would have all perished trying to cross that heavy flowing river, or they could have waited till the end of harvest when the river was down and walked across it. But that brings a whole set of obstacles and grave difficulties. Because once harvest is over with, what comes next? Wintertime. So wintertime comes, amen? So you got a whole new set of problems, a whole new set of obstacles if they were to procrastinate and not obey and follow God. So here's what I'm going to say is I'm going to call the River Jordan the obvious obstacle, okay? It was right in front of him. It was apparent. It was impossible to cross alone. There it is. One cannot miss it. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. I mean, you had to face it by God's plan, by having faith in his pattern, nothing less, nothing more, to cross that River Jordan, okay? But now there's going to be other obstacles on the other sides. There's going to be different obstacles that we face in our life. The Jordan obstacle, I want to speak about that just by way of review, if you will, is a big one in our life, all right? It's a very big one in our life. As we witnessed last week, and I hope and pray that you've crossed that River Jordan in your own life. The Jordan is known as the River of Judgment. It is a tributary, if you will, to the Dead Sea, a place where nothing grows and everything dies. The Lord, in his marvelous work, cut off that river from the city of Adam. Amen. This is the only time the city of Adam is ever mentioned in the Word of God. And it is in Adam that we all die. Paul said, for as in Adam, all die. So when God cut that River of Judgment off at the city of Adam, cutting off a tributary to dead things, guys, we were conceived in Adam. Adam's sin is in the Garden of Eden. It's passed through our bloodline. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have died. So that river of judgment is crossing over mankind today, because it's coming through that city of Adam. And guys, that judgment was cut off this day when Israel walked through dry ground. It was cut off for us when the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was performed on the cross of Calvary. With Israel crossing the Jordan, the river of judgment was cut off from the city of Adam, stopping that feed to the Dead Sea. And for us, the same thing. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. All you can do, in your mind, you picture that judgment, or that river of judgment, that Jordan River, as it's flowing so heavily and it's crossing, and God said, I'm going to stop it at the city of Adam. It's going to cease to carry things down to the Dead Sea. I'm ending that judgment there, cross over on dry ground. And in your mind, in the church age, you just supplement Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. In Adam we all die, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He stood it up, and it stood that water up as a heap. Amen. So praise the Lord for a major and monumental obstacles to be overcome in our life. It's a gift of eternal life overcoming that obstacle. For Israel, it was walking into the promised land. For us, it is salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing or minus nothing. Amen. But afterwards is the Christian life. Afterwards is the Christian life. I'm going to say this morning. I think one of the areas that our current society and culture amongst Christianity today, I believe we have been infected with the spirit of entitlement. We feel as if we are entitled to salvation. If we're entitled to it, it's not a gift. A gift is something you're given, you don't earn. All right? You don't deserve. The Bible speaks of mercy. The Bible speaks of grace. We're saved by grace, all right? What is grace? Receiving something you do not deserve to receive. What is mercy? Not receiving something you do deserve, amen. God had mercy on us. So by grace we are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm saying all that, guys, today to make a very clear point. People are not committed and dedicated to God today. And you say the house of God, the Bible, the Word of God, prayer, well, all of that is included because they feel like they're entitled to it. Afterwards is the Christian life. I've made this statement many times in my tenure of preaching. I've had people get upset with me because I preached on rewards. I preached on the judgment seat of Christ. I preached on what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. I've had men push the boundaries in my church office because they didn't like what they heard or what I preached about rewards. The Bible tells me, matter of fact, Brother Kelton on Wednesday night even touched on it himself out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But the Bible tells me under the same topic in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some will suffer loss. And my friend, you think things are important on a Sunday or important in your life or important. When you get to the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that is going to be important is what you did or did not do for Jesus Christ. Not a luncheon, not a cooked dinner, not fellowship, not, none of those things are going to matter. What's going to matter is how you built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And you're going to see what you could have had. And the Bible says there's going to be weeping at the judgment seat of Christ. Two times after the rapture. Two times in heaven there's tears that God wipes them away. Both of them are after judgment seats. Amen? So you just, hey guys, listen. Get upset. Throw stones at me if you want to. I'm just preaching the word of God. I'm just telling you the truth today. And you take it on board for what it's worth this morning. The Christian life, guys, is it going to be one of ease and comfort? No. For that matter, the lost person's life is not one of ease and comfort. The life in general is not one of ease and comfort. Praise God for our life. Guys, I mean, listen, I thank God for what he has done for us in our life. I thank the Lord for what he has given us and what he has blessed us with, be it from health to food to friends to church. I mean, everything. It doesn't mean life is easy. And it doesn't mean it was ever intended to be easy. I mean, the Christian life, Paul said himself that no man should be moved by these afflictions. That's not a kind word, is it? I mean, that's afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So for the entitlements out there, the socialists out there who think that the world owes them something, Paul says the only thing you're owed is afflictions. I don't know about you, Brother Andy, but when I read that word affliction, for some reason in my mind, I just have a belt whacking me all over. That's what I envision. That's such a harsh word. Afflictions, amen. And I'm just here to say, beloved, obstacles of life are going to be there no matter what. They're going to be there for the saved or the lost. The beauty of us today, those who are saved and born again, when we live right and do the right thing and serve God with gladness, we can stand up and face the obstacles. When you step outside of the will of God because for whatever reason that you've justified it in your mind that you have the right to do so, and that obstacle comes, because it's going to come, you'll stand powerless before it and you'll fail. We'll see that at the close of the sermon. So, beloved, I want you to understand something today. Saved or lost, obstacles are going to be there. But for the saved, these obstacles are to be faced and defeated in faith. Remember, action is required. You are not going to sit around and do nothing and receive God's blessing. It will not happen. You have to get up and you have to go. Joshua had to arise and cross that river. If you want to get the blessings of the promised land, you are going to have to get up and go. The soul must cross that river and then be prepared for what is next. More obstacles. Other obstacles that we're going to face and look at. Look at verse 4. Of our chapter. I think I may have it on the screen there for you. You can cheat a little bit. But in verse 4 of our chapter, the boundaries are given, but I want you to see what is said. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then he says this, all the land of the Hittites. Okay? Now this is the promised land of the nation of Israel. But God says, all the land of the Hittites. Now the Lord gives the boundaries of the land grant, but he also gives the occupants at the current state of the land. Who's in the land right now? Well, the Hittites were, right? What are the Hittites? I'm going to tell you what the Hittites are. We're hitting the high points of the story and the events. We would not have time to go over everything. But the Hittites are obstacles. That's all you got to think about this morning. Beloved, you're going to have some Hittites in your life. David had a Goliath, Israel had the Hittites and many others, and we're going to have them as well. Look in Joshua chapter 3. And again, I think that's on the screen for you too. Look, I'm doing all the work for you guys. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 10 says, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. All these ites are in there. All these people. Now we got the Canaan. We had the Hittites. God said Hittites in chapter 1. Now by the time we get to chapter 3, after they're getting ready to cross that river, He starts throwing all these other rites out there. You mean to tell me that once we cross that River Jordan, we're saved and born again, and oh, there we are, we're eternally sealed. Oh, we got to fight some Hittites. All right, we'll take the Hittites on. That's fine. But why is there more rites? Because, guys, there's obstacles in our life every single day of our existence, my friend. In other words, you're going to have several obstacles that you're going to face and need to defeat in the Christian life. Unless you want to become a slave to the Hittites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Pezerites and the Jebusites. Unless you want to be a bondservant to the vile and disgusting, you're going to have to face some obstacles. In May of 2001, Eric Weinmayer accomplished something that was about only 150 people do a year, and that's reach the top of Mount Everest. But the first thing that made Eric's achievement unusual was that he is the first blind person to succeed in scaling the tallest mountain in the world. Eric was born with a disease that eventually, by the time he was 13, rendered him completely blind. But rather than focus on what he could not do, he made the choice to focus on what he could do, and he went much further than almost anyone expected him. You see, man, you get into this Christian life, and you start to look around at the obstacles, and you start to look around. You're in the land of the Hittites. You've never been there before. You've never been in this place before. You've been walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, and for that 40 years, God's provided everything. Now you got to get up and go get it yourself. You have to take responsibility for your life. You got to get up on a Sunday morning and get your tail in church like you should. You got to get there Sunday night and get in church Wednesday night. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. God's not going to do it for you, amen. And he's not going to make you do it. But you get in this land, and there's some obstacles. And too often, many times, we begin to look at what we cannot do as opposed to looking at what we should do. There's the thought for you. See, within these obstacles, guys, some of them are going to fall easy. I like those. I like when that obstacle comes and they kind of kill over real quick. Those are fun. Like a fainting goat. You ever see a fainting goat? Should have had a video. You scare a fainting goat, that thing will lock up and bounce around and fall to the side like it's dead. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen. Some won't. Some of these obstacles are going to stand around like a bullheaded ram, if you will. And every time you get near, he's going to hit you. And he's going to hurt you. But the reality is, guys, if you want the promise, if you want the blessing, if you want the peace in your life, you're going to have to get up, you're going to have to stand, you're going to have to fight the obstacles, you are going to have to defeat them. So the first thing that it's going to require in defeating these obstacles is going to require trust. Trust. Back in our text this morning, Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Bible says, now watch this with me, stay with this. I'll tell you what, guys, as a preacher, when you're reading that opening text and you're starting to see about seven sermons unfold, man, it's hard not to chase rabbits, but I'm going to maintain that diligence today. Verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know, the only time success ever shows up before work is where? The dictionary. You'll have no success in your life if you're not willing to work. If you want success, guys, it is going to begin by trusting the Word of God. Now, here's what you have. Somebody's listening either out there or in here tonight, and they see the book of the law. As soon as they see the word law, they're throwing the whole sermon out. Well, we're not under the law anymore, preacher. I know where we are, man. I'm talking about the Word of God. So you take where you are in your dispensation, because if you want to get like that, we'll go over the Pauline epistles and see where you are dispensationally today and see how well you're holding up to that bad boy, amen? I love when people say, well, preacher, you know, tithing's of the law. No, it ain't. Nope. Tithing was there long before the law. Abraham paid tithe unto Melchizedek, amen? That was hundreds of years before the law, number one. And number two, when you tithe, it was the blood of bulls and goats. When we give today, we give as God prospered us under the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? We should give 10 times more than what the stinking law people did. Amen. But guys, if you want victory in your life, it's going to begin by trusting the Word of God. Trusting. If you're here today and you're saved, and I pretty much believe everyone in here is saved and born again, the only way you got saved, the only way, was that you put your ever-loving faith, your eternal existence, your complete trust in what was written in this book to give you eternal life. Otherwise, you didn't get saved. Otherwise, you didn't get saved. So watch this with me in Joshua chapter 1. Look there in verse 5 with me. The Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Let me stop for a second. Y'all believe that? Do y'all believe when God told Joshua, there ain't a man that's going to be able to stand before thee all the days of your life? You're going to live to be 100 years old. No man can stand before you. You believe that? Well, I believe because it's written in the book right here. Amen. And he says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now that right there is quoted in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look there in the next verse, verse 6. Watch what he says. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide the inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. There's a promise that's in there. The covenant's in there. That same covenant that went from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob. Now it's down to the 12 tribes. The same covenant's there. But the very first part, what was the condition? Okay, the condition is that no man's going to be able to stand before thee. All right? That's the promise. The condition is be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe. Whoa, wait a second. We're coming full circle now to that same conditional promise. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. We see the word success. We see the words prosper. We see the words be strong and of good courage. But the whole condition, the root of it is trusting what God has said. And guys, I'll be the first one to tell you this morning, without fail, that it will require strength and courage to observe and to hold to what the Word of God says. There are going to be battles and temptations seeking to deter you from obeying the Bible, from adhering to His Word. We got empty seats today. We see that some people lost that battle. We see that all the time. And listen, I'm telling you, it's going to take strength and it's going to take courage to observe all that the Word of God says. To do all that it says in the book. You'll be tempted to lay out and flake out, but God says, be strong. Be very courageous, trusting the Word of God. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Notice, he says, I won't do it. But we have, haven't we? Skip down a verse in verse 9. Watch this. Have not I commanded thee? I think God's trying to make a point here. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No man. Beloved, we live in a society today that wants to blame their problems on man, on mankind. Everybody wants to blame. Listen, it's not their fault. It's the preacher's fault. It's the sermon's fault. It's the system's fault. It's the government's fault. It's society's fault. All of it, everybody else's fault. Beloved, listen, it's called obstacles. It's called battles, man. And they are part of our life today. And the Lord says in response to these obstacles, be strong. What is the opposite of strong? Weak. Be strong. The Lord says, be courageous. What's the opposite of courageous? Cowardly. Beloved, people get upset when conviction sets on them, either through the Word of God or the preaching thereof. When things don't go their way, they get upset because they're weak and they're being cowardly. Now, don't get offended by that. Don't get upset by what I just said. Take an inward look. Look at yourself and say, every time I got offended, every time I got upset, I wasn't being strong. I wasn't being courageous. I wasn't trusting in the Word of God. I was being weak and I was being cowardly. Strength and courage is looking first at why I'm getting upset and where I need to grow. I'll say that to you again. Strength and courage is looking first at why I am getting upset and where I need to grow. The trusting of the Word of God by being strong and very courageous, that is what's going to bring us growth, and that is what God says is going to make us prosperous, and that is what God says is going to allow us to be successful. Think about it like this. Great analogy. Can you imagine if our boys on the international team, our boys in red, our boys, the boys for the Wales team, can you imagine if they were interviewed after losing to England, of all people, all right? Nobody will, you don't want to lose to England, all right, or France. Don't want to lose to anyone. But those two teams, no way, man, right? Imagine if those boys just, you know, they got on the TV or the radio and they says, well, man, we could have scored more tries if those guys for England just didn't get in the way, okay? I mean, if they would just quit tackling us and quit hitting us, we could have won. I mean, think about it like that. Yeah, if those England boys would have not taken the ball away from us, we could have done more. What would you say to that? I mean, what in the world would you think of them? You say, man, you bunch of cowards. Here's the deal. England's just doing their job. Your opponent is just doing their job. The obstacles are just doing what they are because they're obstacles, amen. We are the ones that are to be strong. When we project our own weaknesses on the obstacle, we are revealing our lack of trust in what God has said. What did God say? He said, no man. No man. Read it again. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What is the condition? Only be thou strong and very courageous. That's right. You have to make the decision to be strong, guys. You have to make the choice to be courageous. You have to step across that River Jordan, step up against the obstacles of your life, whether it's a Hivite or a Hittite or a Jebusite or a Pezzerite or whatever kind of idol you're dealing with today. You've got to step up and defeat it by trusting what God has said. But I want you to see something with me. In facing these obstacles, guys, there's going to be a pattern that we find. First, we understand we need to trust the Lord. We need to be strong and courageous by taking responsibility for your own life and your actions. And when we do that, that's when we begin to build a testimony. A testimony. So we find another obstacle. Listen, the big obstacle, here we got Jordan. Get saved, get born again, cross that river. Here you go, right? And we're getting that promised land. Boy, we can't wait to get to heaven. We can't wait to be able to glorify God, all hours and days. We're looking forward to that exciting times, amen. But between here and there, we're going to have some obstacles. We're going to have some battles. For Israel, it was the city of Jericho, a city fortified by walls which two chariots could ride side by side on. Jericho was considered impenetrable. I want you to watch this. There's a woman there. And again, the story would take too long for us to go. We're just hitting high points today. We're going to have a sermon here in a couple of weeks on Rahab anyway. But there was a woman in that city known as Rahab the harlot. That's what she was known, Rahab the harlot. And you know, the thing is, she hid these spies. You know, Joshua sent some spies into Jericho. The king heard about the spies coming in. And they searched the city over and over. And as you know, Rahab hid those spies in her home there up on top. And she had them all covered up. And you may wonder why. Again, we're going to dig into that a little later on, another week or so. But for now, I want you to watch this. Before those spies laid down, rest in the night, I want you to see this testimony that came from trust in the Lord. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, it should be there on the other side of your page. Just turn over one. The Bible says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you to the land, given you the land. And that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto those two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, and whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Hang on. Now, I thought Jericho was an obstacle. Jericho is an obstacle. But because you trusted God 40 years ago, there's a testimony that's gone throughout this land. In my heart of hearts, I believe they knew that land was Israel's. They knew sooner or later they're coming to get it. It could have happened 2 years after the fact. But because of those 10 spies who were weak and cowardly, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, amen. And all these people in these cities heard what God had done for them. They heard this testimony dating back 40 years before and beyond. And it caused these people, it caused this obstacle to fear. And in the long run, Israel defeated the foe inwardly by trusting the Lord, which developed a testimony in the land. So what about us? What about you? Have we developed a testimony by trusting the Lord, by being strong and of good courage? Or are we weak and cowardly, unwilling to face our own obstacles, which oftentimes, as you heard last week, is our own desires, our own decisions, and our own delinquencies? We've got to stop blaming others. You know, I'll tell you about a testimony, guys. I'm going to watch my time, be very careful. I've only got one more point, we're done. I knew this lady named Betty Hickman. I had met her through a well-known preacher friend of mine, dear friend of mine, Brother Dan. They only lived, before Denise and I and the kids moved out to where our last house in Tennessee, they only lived right down the road from us. And she'd served the Lord all her life. Her and his sisters were singers. And Betty's son fell sick, deathly sick with cancer. Now, I'm not saying you make deals with God. I'm not saying to do that. But I am going to tell you this morning. Miss Betty got on her knees and she said, "Lord, I want you to please heal my son. If you heal my son, I promise you every single day at 2 p.m., I'm going to come in here, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray my heart out." And the Lord healed her son. He's still alive yet today. She's gone on to heaven, but he's still alive. But if I had a prayer need, you know what I used to do? I'd nip down to Miss Betty's house about a quarter to two. I used to stop by all the time and sit with her and with her husband Jim and have coffee and just talk and fellowship. I'd go down there and I'd say, "Miss Betty, I need you to pray for something." And she'd say it just like, "Okay, Brother BJ, I'll pray for you." So and she'd go in that back room. Guys, they ain't a charismatic bone in my body. But she'd go in that back room and she'd start praying. And I'm telling you, this is God just filled that house up like a balloon. See, she had a testimony as being a prayer warrior. People knew they wanted a prayer answered. You go in there and tell Miss Betty, she'd go to prayer for you. We've got to stop casting fault on society. Society is what it is. We got to stop casting fault on situations and sermons. Amen? We need to be strong and very courageous. Face the enemy and win. So lastly, beloved, obstacles are going to come in our life. Israel had their ites in the land. They conquered most. They lost some. They repented, fought again and won. They forsook some of the obstacles, thinking they could coexist with them and only just become like them. But at the end of the day, we are only going to be victorious in this Christian life through the truth. Truth will stand by itself. No matter what society deems right, wrong, or indifferent, truth is truth. Such is a situation when Israel came to its next obstacle after this great victory in Jericho. It was a city called Ai. And to save time, guys, we're just going to summate the situation. But Israel again sent spies into the land. And having just come off this massive victory, they sent spies into Jericho. So they just followed the same suit. And they were confident when they looked at the people. They saw they were small in number. And they came back with this report. This is what they said in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 3. If you can flip there quickly. He says, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, 'Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few.'" Now, unbeknownst to them, those spies, at least most of them, There was a man named Achan who had committed a trespass against the Lord. And as a result of that trespass against the Lord, his hand, God's hands of blessing, was removed. And the few men that went down to Ai, I'm sorry, the few men of Ai put a whooping on those thousands of Israel, and they fled and retreated. We find Achan's confession in Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 and 21. He says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it.'" Israel enacted judgment according to the law. His whole family was killed. Achan was cast out. They returned unto Ai, and they defeated the obstacle. But something happened in between the initial defeat and Achan's confession. Guess what Joshua did? Joshua had a row with God. Now guys, I don't know about you, but I am fearful to have a row with God. But I want you to turn there in Joshua chapter 7. I want you to look in verses 6 and 7 and notice with me how what happened. You know, they returned into the land. They were defeated. They were defeated by just a handful of people out of Ai. And in verse 6, the Bible says, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon his head. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought all... Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan.'" Now, what does he sound like now? He sounds like those reprobates who were killed in the wilderness. Why did we leave Egypt? We had flesh pots in Egypt. We could have been there and been a slave and just died in Egypt with full bellies. He's having a row with God. I want you to see God's response. Look at verse 10 with me. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, 'Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?'" What in the world does this mean? I mean, surely we should go pray to God when trouble hits, right? Surely, man, when problems arise, man, we need to pray to God, shouldn't we? Beloved, this what we see right here is there is a time to pray. There is a time to plead with God. But for Joshua, God said, "This isn't the time, son." There are some times when we just need to put up our big boy trousers and get the job done. Find out what the problem is. Make the correction in our life. God said, "Clean up your camp. Do what I had sent you to do. We can talk later on." Amen. What was Joshua doing? What was Joshua doing? Rending his clothes, casting the dust. He did the same thing Adam did. He was blaming God. "Man, why'd you bring us here on this side of Jordan? We could have kicked back on the other side of Jordan over there and not be killed by the Amorites." Joshua's mistake was casting blame everywhere else rather than looking from within. A mistake that we all make multiple times resulted in the same outcome over and over and over again. We need to get up, stop asking God to fix what we know needs to be correcting, and look within ourselves, face the foe, defeat the obstacle, be strong and very courageous. Because guys, at the end of the day, you know what the problem is. You may cast it on the preacher. You may cast it on society. You may say, "Well, you offended me." You may say those things, but at the end of the day, you know the obstacle that you're facing is from within, and you are the one that's responsible in correcting that. So, beloved, we can say all we want. We can say all we need to say, but we can defeat the obstacles in our life. Too often, those obstacles are aligned with desires, decisions, and delinquencies. They get the best of us. Yes, we should pray. But can I say this today in closing? Prayer without action is dead words. Truth, my friend, truth is what we need to stand upon. Not hiding behind our feelings and our emotions. And guys, if you're casting blame, 9 times out of 10, there is a deeper problem within that you need to correct. It's the same issue that will cause you to fall out. It's the same issue that will cause you to drop out and jump out. You need to get it fixed in your life. You need to defeat it, be done with it, and move on. So where are you this morning with truth? What obstacle are you hiding from, hoping it will go away? It's not going to go away, guys. You are either going to face and defeat that obstacle now, or you're going to remain subpar, suffering the judgment and removal of God's blessing in your life. I want you to remember this. Subpar effort will always produce subpar results. So you're going to have critics in your life. You're going to have those that criticize you for what you do. They're going to see you standing up against things in your life. They're going to see you trying to make changes in your life. They're going to see you trying to improve your Christian life, and they're going to criticize you. Teddy Roosevelt said this, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done better." He said, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by the dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daringly greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." So, beloved, let me encourage you this morning to get up, to be strong, to be very courageous and fight the obstacles of our life by trusting, having developed a testimony, standing upon truth. Therein is the victory over the enemy. Will you bow your heads? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time this morning. We thank you, dear God, for all you've done, for who and what you are. And we pray this morning that you please take your message, write it upon the table of our heart, dear Lord, and let us give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, we ask these things. Amen and amen.